Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor in the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. If you are Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. If you're Apple, Apple Podcasts is the way. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server. Got 10 different channels on there. Communicate with Heat fans all day long. Get away from the same five people who are tweeting all day. You need a break from Twitter, right? So check out Discord. Give it a shot for a month. $2.99 per month. Link is right here in the description. On the podcast feed, also on the YouTube channel. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN, 5RSN at betteredge.com. This is a social betting marketplace. What does that mean? First, it's legal in the state of Florida. And unlike the place that a lot of you may be betting in the state of Florida, there's no VIG here. So you're not just giving away money to the house. Okay. The other thing is that you can find the line that you want because, like I said, it is a marketplace. So you look around, you find the line you want, you find the odds you want. And then you play. So go to betteredge.com, use the code 5RSN. 5RSN, get $20 to play right away. That's free money. And also, we run different competitions there. We'll be doing another one for the NBA Finals. Check it out. Betteredge.com, use the code 5RSN. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Make sure you check out the last couple of episodes that have gone up here on the feed. One I did with Greg Sylvander. We went through depressed assets, okay? Like players like Kyrie Irving, maybe not at quite that level. The players that the Heat could get because essentially they've fallen out of favor for one reason or another. The Heat have had great success with this in the past. Tim Hardaway is one that jumps to mind, someone who had dropped a third string point guard with the Golden State Warriors behind BJ Armstrong. And I believe at the time, Bimbo Coles actually ends up coming to Miami and he makes more all-star teams and he solidifies his Hall of Fame career. Is there a player like that out there? Greg and I went through it. Also, make sure you check out The Force. The first one we put on our feed. If you like it, we'll put more. Our guys, Major Passons and Matt Hanifin, do a great job covering the Sky Force, but also under the radar prospects. So they went through the second rounders that the Heat may be able to look at in the draft, which is roughly a month away. So we're putting that on the feed, and we will be putting more during the offseason. Today, we're going to get into one of the teams that is still in the playoffs. I know much to the chagrin of Miami Heat fans, the Boston Celtics. They're up 3-0 in their Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not sure that any team in history has ever gotten an easier path than this. The conference was not great to begin with, and then it's like everybody gets hurt. So obviously, no Jimmy Butler. In the first round, in the last round, Donovan Mitchell gets hurt towards the end of the series. Other Cleveland players were banged up. They were not considered to be a great threat to them anyway. And then the Indiana Pacers, who were a surprise Eastern Conference Finals team, mostly getting there because all the Knicks injuries. And then Tyrese Halliburton gets hurt. So this has been a cakewalk to the finals. I don't even know that we've seen Boston have to exert themselves all that much. But we're going to present this anyway, just out of some respect, because the Celtics were dominant this year during the regular season. They added Porzingis. They added Holiday. Porzingis not even part of this right now. But just to go through it, I'll ask this question, Alex, and then we're going to pivot to see how they would do it. Should the Heat build a team to beat Boston, or should they just build a team?
Yes. That's my answer. They should build the team to beat Boston, and those two things shouldn't be mutually exclusive. I just think it's like you play in the Eastern Conference, you know, much to the Heat's benefit throughout this era, right? Where like you don't play in a conference where you feel like you're playing with like five other contenders or whatever, like the West, and you know you're 12 teams deep with good teams. So like it's benefited them before, but now it's to that point, like you're saying, where you know you play who's there. And Boston is the team who I bet you if you ask them just like privately, they will tell you that's the team that, you know, you got to get over the hump with. Not that, you know, they haven't done it before, but it's like the changes have been made. The season ended how it ended. We didn't get to see, you know, the two teams fight at full force, all of that. But that they're there now. They're the team to beat. Like you said, they dominated the regular season. Their moves really panned out for them. And now, you know, Porzingis is out. We'll see when he comes back. But they're the team to beat. So yeah, if you're trying to get back to the finals, then you got to beat a team. I mean, build a team that can beat the Boston Celtics for sure.
All right. Before we get into the specifics of what that looks like, how would you answer that same question, Brady?
I would say you have to build a team to beat Boston. The reason I say that is just because of the style of play you need to beat them with is a style of play you need to beat most of the good teams in the West. Like, it's not just about getting to the finals they have in the past, about getting over the hump. They say it's championship or bust all the time, and it feels like they always get to the point where either they're too small, they are don't have enough scoring, and I think those are kind of the two things that you need to kind of beat a lot of those next level teams. But look at what Indiana's done this series. They're down 3-0, but they probably should have won game one just with the way that game ended up playing out. Game three, without Haliburton, they had a chance of winning as well. They controlled that game till the end and ended up kind of blowing it late. The reason is because they have a crazy offensive team, a very good scoring team. And if we're to talk about the way to beat Boston, the way to build a team to beat Boston, I don't know if it's enough just a lean offense. Like with this current Boston group, you have to have like real, legit, consistent offense. It can't be spotty. It cannot be like, okay, we're going to shoot over our heads and hope. Like, you have to have a guy consistently, multiple guys that are able to kind of really take you that next level offensively. So I think Indiana, just seeing what they're able to do right now, is a good example of that. Just because, I mean, look, they're not world beaters in terms of roster construction, but they do have good game plan in terms of just their offensive philosophy. So that'll be the interesting thing. So in a way, I would say it's building a team to beat Boston, just because I think the team to beat Boston is similar to the teams they're trying to beat in the West.
All right. Here's where I am on this. For years, okay, teams were constructed to beat Jordan. I'm going to go back before your guys' time. Okay. There was this idea that first thing, there was a team already built to beat Jordan when Jordan was ascending, which was the Detroit Pistons, right? Physical, put him on the ground, Jordan rules, okay, all that stuff with Chuck Daly. You know, you had a backcourt of guys, I mean, forget Laimbeer and Mahorn, okay, but you also had like Dumars, Isaiah, like take no bleep type players, okay? But it was a more physical time. And so then as Detroit faded, as Jordan finally passed them, and that was the one he had to beat. It was more so them than the Celtics. The Pistons had to get past the Celtics. The Bulls had to get past the Pistons. And there was this kind of, it used to be that like it was this progression. Like this is kind of what our friend Vinny Goodwill asked Anthony Edwards after the Western Conference Finals about losing. And if you saw Anthony Edwards' response to him, they were like, "And Cat, we've been losing for 20 years." Okay. That's my best Cat. The point of Vinny's question, because Vinny is not as old as me, but he's kind of an old head, is that it used to be like you had to get over the team or the player on top, and you would keep failing until you finally broke through. So then, okay, you go through the Pistons and the Bulls, and then the Bulls emerge. And so what kind of teams tried to beat the Bulls? Well, the Knicks, Riley's Knicks, okay? the Indiana teams with the Davis brothers, even though they weren't brothers, Antonio Davis, Dale Davis, Rick Smith's physicality, right? That was the idea. You had to, and like a guard like John Starks, okay, another take no bleep physical type player. He wasn't as big as Jordan, but he would play him that way. Well, none of it worked. Okay, they all tried it, and Jordan kept getting to the finals. And then the team that really was supposed to ascend past him was a more talented team like the Magic with Shaq and Penny. And by then, Jordan had the gambling, everything that happened during that period of time. And then, of course, the baseball retirement by the time he came back. But none of these, they were constructed to beat him. It didn't work. Okay. Then there was LeBron, right? So LeBron rises, and all these teams are trying to beat LeBron. But like Toronto lost him like four straight years with Lowry and DeRozan. Like all these teams were constructed and he got to 8 straight finals. Okay. Like, which is just insanity and probably will never happen for one player again.
Chicago, Indiana, Boston.
All right. These teams tried, but again, and there's this whole list of players, great players who never won championships because of Michael Jordan. Like that's, or they never won championships in their prime. Like Gary Payton won one, but it wasn't, he didn't win one when he was supposed to. Reggie Miller, another one. Patrick Ewing, etc. Charles Barkley. All these great Stockton and Malone. Okay. My point overall is this. When you try to build a team to beat a particular other team, it typically does not work. It typically does not work because when you're more focused on them than you are on you, you don't add pieces that maximize what you do well. And so I would say here, my overall thought, in the second half of this episode, we'll get into how they would beat a team to beat Boston, is I actually think they kind of need to ignore Boston. Like, I don't think that they – because here's the other thing about it. Porzingis, Holiday, this team's getting expensive, okay? It's gotten more expensive. And they're going to have to pay Tatum now, too. They've already paid Brown. They may not look exactly the same going forward. And so sometimes you end up building a team to beat a particular team – and then the target you're going for looks different. And so to me, what Miami has to do is Miami has to maximize what its coach does well. And if they're going with these two star players, what these two star players do well. And that's kind of what Greg and I were getting into and the point I made in the last episode, which is that we can say, okay, do what Dallas did, right? Build around your two best players, reshuffle it. They added Gafford. They added PJ Washington, right? But Dallas's two best players are elite scorers. Like, one is arguably the best scorer in the league, and the other one, when he gets it going, is top 10. And Miami's two best players are not elite scorers. They're not. They can score. Jimmy has scored at a high level in particular, but they're not elite scorers. So Miami needs to customize its team for that, and they need to go all in on scoring around the two of them. That's kind of where I'm at. And I know, Brady, that kind of fits with what you're saying, but I don't think it's because of Boston. I think it's because of them. I think it has to be more about what they do. But I'll let you guys comment on this on the other side, and then we'll get into specific. And here's the other part about it. Jason Tatum is not LeBron James in his prime, and he's not Michael Jordan in his prime, okay? And Tatum,
that was going to be one of my points.
Right. Well, Tatum and Brown are not Jordan and Pippen in their prime, right? So this is not, nor are they even LeBron and Wade, okay? Even though Wade was the back end of his prime. So, or LeBron and Kyrie. So I don't think that they should obsess about the Boston Celtics. That's kind of where I'm at with it, particularly because they've had success against them in the past when they've been reasonably healthy. All right, we'll get to more of this in a second. Before we do, I want to mention one of our great sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. Get the preventative maintenance. If you see a leak in there, take care of it right away, because after the fact, they can do it. They will do it. They'll be honest about it. They'll do the damage assessment. They'll tell you how much it's going to cost. But then you're dealing with insurance companies and all that kind of stuff. So jump in at the very beginning. Your place of home of business is important. Reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida. That's WCUFL.com. WCUFL.com, Water Cleanup of Florida, based in Boca Raton. Michael Robert and his team will take good care of you. Again, they service the entire Tri-County area, though. WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz, they got the guts. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's Shaving products. I love the weight it handled. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so I'll let you guys weigh in on that, and then let's get into what they would do to beat Boston. Alex, you mentioned the Scotty Michael, point.
Well, that's the first thing, right? And I agree with you that they shouldn't obsess over it, but at the same time, like, I'm very much with Brady in the sense that it's like the problems that are keeping you from beating the Celtics in the moment are the same problems you would have against other teams, even if they're not built exactly the same. Like the team that you would have to face in the West, I'm completely with him on that sentiment. And so, you know, like he said, scoring and size, and that's kind of the two things that I feel like all Heat fans are kind of in unison, which is very rare, right? But it feels like everybody's in unison on, like, you know, these are the things that need to be better. But it's also so much easier said than done, because it's like, well, they've tried to address some of their holes throughout the years, but it's like you have to get the right fit, you know, the right group of guys that fit together and complement each other nicely. And it's like, you know, we all liked the Terry Rozier trade, right? To give an example, it's like, okay, you needed a point guard upgrade. You needed somebody else who could make plays, who can get to the rim, who can create for themselves. And he fills all those boxes. But then it's like you have this whole conundrum now that, if, you know, we didn't get to see too much of because of availability and injury. But, you know, this whole thing where Tyler and Terry both seem to be starters, you know, a lot of people don't seem to be sure if that's the right starting backcourt together, including Pat Riley. Felt like he kind of gave his opinion away a little bit in that press conference. And he's like, oh, maybe one of them could come off the bench. And I think, like, that's like an example of, you know, some of the problems that have come throughout the years for the Heat, where it's like you're trying to fix one hole, it brings up more problems. And those are the complexities with trying to build a contending championship team. And I think they're kind of in the midst of it, right? Like, they're like, okay, we needed the point of attack defender. You know, we got DeLon Wright. You know, they got Patty Mills as somebody who can just fill in when other guys are out. Not that he was somebody to help contend. And then, like, just, you know, Lowry was supposed to be the guy a couple of years ago when they traded for him. And it's like, you got to make the right move. You got to get the right group of guys to fit together, like I said. And I just think, like, playing Boston, you know, you probably can't start Terry and Tyler together. So that's one thing, right? I think we saw that in that one regular season game. I believe that was during our watch party at Rock, that they were trying to, like, switch everything against Boston. And that was a game where Terry and Tyler were both starting. And, man, I just remember, like, them two getting switched onto Porzingis and him shooting right over them over and over again. And I just think you can open up a lot of offense if you have two guys in Terry and Tyler that you can attack in that way, because Boston just has so much size at every position. So it's a tough matchup. I'm with you that you don't obsess over it, but it does feel like the product they have right now, even though we've liked some of their additions individually, you know, maybe the fit isn't 100% seamless, right? So it's like, Hakez and Jovic were two kind of, you know, prototypes of guys that you wanted the Heat to add. You wanted them to add another wing who could create for himself, which is Hakez. You wanted them to add, you know, an offensively versatile stretch four next to Bam. That's kind of what Jovic is. Like, I think, you know, again, I mentioned the Terry, like, they've tried to address things little by little. I just, do they have the finished product to beat Boston? I don't know. I think, in my opinion, it would have been a really competitive series if everybody was healthy, but it's just, you know, we're playing with hypotheticals at that point. Like, I think Boston hadn't seen a Heat team, you know, with this much scoring talent that I think this Heat team had if they were healthy. But it's, again, we're playing with, in theory at this point, because we just didn't really get to see it. Like, Terry and Tyler, I think, would have been, it just gives another element that the Heat didn't really have in the past series versus the Celtics, besides Goran in 2020. And so you had Terry and Tyler there. You had what Hakez could bring you. You had what Jovic could bring you. And it's like, yeah, I really like it all on paper, but we never really got to see it come together. And so I think for the Heat, it's trying to figure out, like, what do we do from here, right? If the star trade isn't available, if the Donovan Mitchell isn't available or whatever, none of these situations become feasible. It's like, where do we go from here? Because we didn't get to see too much of it. You know, we like a lot of these guys individually. How do you fix another hole in your game without giving up something you already like? I don't know. Like, I just think it's a complicated situation for them.
Yeah, no, it is. I don't know that we'll never know, but I don't know that the Terry Tyler backcourt would have been particularly effective against that team.
I think one of them would have come off the bench
And also it's circumstantial in the sense that if Terry had been coming back off an injury, then he probably would have come off the bench. But then, and maybe Caleb still starts. But then the other issue was Duncan wasn't himself. So I mean, the hypotheticals run deep, right? Like, because there were so many things wrong by the end, beyond just Jimmy not being available, and everything was supposed to play off of Jimmy. And of course the Heat didn't get any rhythm with that group. But Brady, you kind of touched on it beforehand, but the idea being that, you know, you lean offense, have a multiple offense, have a consistent offense, have a bunch of different triggers and places that you can go. And that's the same against Boston. It's going to be some of those elite teams in the West. And again, one of the points I make about the West is nobody expected Dallas to come out of there. If you were prepping for a team out of the West, you'd be prepping for Denver, right? Like, and Dallas is a different team than Denver. They're operating with their perimeters first. Okay. Even if one of their perimeters is nearly 7 feet tall, like it's a totally different operation. Like, nobody was saying, oh, we got to build a team to beat Dallas. I mean, Dallas didn't even make the playoffs last year, didn't make the play-in last year. I mean, they essentially tanked out of the play-in. So if I was to say to you, Brady, like, what would you do to beat Boston? Again, it's these same things. I mean, do you need an elite third scorer to beat Boston? One guy.
Yeah. I mean, they've done it before, I guess you could say, without it. But I think at this stage right now, nobody's getting any younger. The injury bug keep happening over and over. You just can't overlook that aspect of it. You do need that guy. You need that score so that you're not getting it out the mud and need these huge, major performances from a guy like Jimmy to get you through. And look, Dallas, I think, is a good example because they're a team that made midseason acquisitions to put them over the top. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about. It's like, did they make those moves to add size because of the teams like Minnesota and Denver at the top of the conference to match up with them? Or did they see that as like their weakness, that they needed to build that roster for themselves? Because I think it is a little bit of both. I think that that's where Miami is. I think they need scoring to beat Boston, but they need scoring because, look, bigger than Boston, they need scoring for a Tuesday night in January against Washington. Like, that's their bigger problem probably than anything. It's like, most fans would probably talk about, okay, at the peak of their powers with health, you're not really shying away from the fact that Miami can go toe-to-toe with Boston in a playoff series. But the issue is that you're not getting put in a position to ultimately get there. You're coming up short because of your regular season problems. You're coming up short because of those random nights where guys are out and they don't have the scoring on those nights, and you know, Spoelstra comes out in the post-game press conference because it's what he does and says, like, oh, this was in the mud. It's like, it gets to a certain point where it's going to be fun ultimately to get another team in the mud while you have kind of your scoring explosions. Usually when they're in the mud, both teams are in the mud. It's never one or never the other team that's in the mud only. So I just think that's kind of the thing here. It's like, if you want to match up with Boston and build a team to beat Boston, you first have to build a team for yourself, to your point, Ethan, because you have to build a regular season team. We always talk about building these playoff teams, and teams make those midseason acquisitions to make yourself a playoff team. But to start off in the offseason right now, you have to build a regular season team. When you're a playing team 2 years in a row, you have to kind of reevaluate and say, we need to take the regular in. Other than just taking the regular season more serious and being available, as Pat kind of talked about, you just need to build a regular season unit that's more successful. And I just look around the league right now. These teams score. These teams have like a really good offensive talent that can just put points up. And that's the way this league's turning to. And Miami's always going to have that the defensive disposition that they're just always going to lean on that ultimately when it comes down to it. But at certain pockets of an 82-game regular season, you have to find a way to score at a certain level to get you there. So it is kind of a 50-50 thing. I feel like one goes with the next in terms of building your own team against beating Boston. But build a team to beat Washington on the Tuesday night. Let's start there.
Well, build a team so that things look easy sometimes. That everything you mentioned, the mud. Like, they're in the mud all the time. It's never like, okay, they just went on a 17-0 run because like they couldn't be stopped during that. We saw Jimmy do it as one-man runs in the previous playoff series, but expecting him to ever do something like that again, I think even for those who are the biggest Jimmy believers, is too much to ask. And I'll just, as we close here, and I appreciate our sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida, Better Edge, use the code 5RSN. I'll say again, when you build a team to beat another team, it usually does not work. It's not just the NBA. For years, teams have tried to take down Tom Brady's Patriots. And for years, they won the division. I watched the Dolphins do this year. Oh, we got this. We added corners. We added this. We're gonna shut down Moss. Then Moss wasn't there anymore. We're gonna run a different kind of offense against that will exploit the Patriots' lack of size, sort of at linebacker and all the rest. I heard all of this stuff. It never works. I mean, now teams are doing it to beat Mahomes, and Mahomes is beating them anyway. So
That team doesn't exist in the NBA now. Ever since the Warriors dynasty kind of like broke up. And I know that, you know, they won another title again, but it's been different teams in the finals year after year. And so I think that helps the Heat. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there's no clear target to beat. But I just think, you know, looking at the conference, it's like, okay, Boston is the team to beat. But like, they're beatable. And as we've talked about on this pod, they're beatable.
Yeah, they're not. This is not an all-time team. It's just not. It's a well-constructed team around two stars. I'm not going to call either a superstar, honestly. to me, it's two stars. And they're good. There's no question. The Porzingis move, the Holiday move, for their own reasons, made a lot of sense for them. Derek White was a great acquisition. But
Josh Richardson, by the way.
I know, but I am not. I mean, again, I'm old enough to remember the Bulls went on the floor with Jordan and Pippen and Rodman, and you knew you were losing. Okay, you were losing. Like, it may not look great for them the whole time, and Michael might start 5 of 16, but you were losing at the end. Okay, and it's the same. It's the same when you look at like the Patriots with Brady with some of those teams. It didn't matter what happened. The Falcons got way up. Patriots could look like total garbage for most of the game. You were losing. Okay. That's how it is. The Warriors. And you mentioned the Warriors, but the thing with the Warriors is too, again, teams tried to build to beat them. It didn't work. It really just took LeBron going nuclear. Like, and if you don't have a LeBron in his prime, and 2016 was close enough to his prime, that's not the way to do it. Okay. That's not the way that you build the best possible team that you can, and you hope you catch some breaks. Honestly, that's the way it is. But Boston is not that. And obviously Denver is not that. And I know that the one counter people are going to say is, well, Minnesota was kind of built to beat Boston, to beat Denver. I don't think they were intentionally built that way to beat Denver. It worked out. Okay. Because of their size and other things along those lines. I think it really had more to do with the fact that Denver lost on its bench in over the offseason, something that we talked about. They weren't quite as deep and they weren't quite as sharp, honestly. And they probably had a little bit of hangover from winning a championship. And again, if you build a good team like Minnesota did, you can take advantage of that. I don't think it's necessarily because a year before that, they put Gobert next to Towns and decided we're going to go huge to guard Jokic. Those guys weren't even on the floor at times with Jokic during this series. They had Naz Reid a lot. So I think you focus on yourself. that's the way that you go with this. All right. We will have more episodes throughout the week. Make sure, again, you check out the major Matt pod called The Force on our podcast feed. We'll start getting into the draft stuff in June. Have a good one, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.